Richard Hand is the author of Terror on the Air, Horror Radio in America, 1931 to 1952. The book chronicles the popularity of the horror genre during the golden age of radio. Hand is a longtime fan of horror radio.
I've always been fascinated with the horror potential of radio. I think Stephen King said nothing can make it real like radio in relation to horror. But I suppose what I like listening to the old recordings is you can tell they're live. You can tell that there's adrenaline running through all the performers. And also, I suppose because radio is an oral medium, not a visual medium, you can explore things like claustrophobia and pitch blackness in a way that film or television never could.
Lights out, everybody. Is later than you think.
Lights Out started broadcasting in Chicago in the mid-1930s and was started by a great radio writer and director called Willis Cooper. But it really came into its own when Arch Obler, a very young talent, took over the show. And he really made it his own. He was a great showman, and apparently descriptions of how he was as a director are evidence to that. But it really did explore the potential of horror, with enormous fun as well. But some of the plays really did push the limits. Being on the boundary of science fiction and horror, they really exploited the dimensions of sound and soundscape. Arch Obler was a great wunderkind in radio, really, a great young discovery. In fact, I think the form of radio was so new, it did attract numerous great talents, others being Orson Welles. But Arch Obler is one of those front runners of the great radio talent. And what he did with Lights Out was he really explored the horror potential of the show, but he also did explore the science fiction element and also the great humour. And what's amazing with listening to some of those old plays is how they play around with the form in a way that we might associate with movies now like Scream and those kind of postmodern self-referential horror films. Arch Obler was doing it in the 30s with Lights Out. In Lights Out, there's a couple of plays where Arch Obler does refer to himself. He becomes a character within the plays himself, and it's enormous fun when he does that.
We'll start out next week's play with the regular Lights Out opening. Lights Out, everybody, chime, greater than you think, gone. First character is named Hellman. Call him Hellman. Jack Hellman, H-E-L-M-N. Two L's. Got that?
Mm-hmm.
He commits a murder and he, Oh, what's the use? I can't write another one of these things. Ghosts and groans and blood. I tell you, I can't do it. I can't do it.
Mr. Obler.
Also, what he does with some of these plays are real dark rides. They're real roller coaster rides. It's a play called Poltergeist, which is a very chilling work, but it's enormous fun. It's a real kind of ghost train ride of a show. Three young American tourists are travelling in the countryside, and one of them dies, and gradually you realise how they're under threat, and there's supernatural occurrences, and the pace is terrific, the way it builds up.
I hear you. Where are you? No!
The episode Chicken Heart and Lights Out is one of the great classics of horror radio. It was first broadcast in 1938, actually a few months before War of the Worlds, interestingly enough. And what happens in Chicken Heart, it's a great example of science fiction. A couple of scientists take a chicken heart, still beating, and begin to do experiments on it, and it begins to expand exponentially. So it gets larger and larger and larger until it engulfs the whole world, hard as that may be to believe. It's actually a terrifying concept. Because it's a pounding heart, you get the sound of the heartbeat thumping through the work, and that's no doubt part of its great effect.
You ask for the National Guard. I say call out the entire army. Blast this thing off the earth.
All ready, Chief. Pumpers are ready. All hoses coupled up. We'll flood that thing with water from all angles.
All right, here's the signal. Open them up! Full blast!
Chief, look out! That flesh, it's reaching out!
back, everybody! Everybody back!
The fools, what good is water? I told them. The only hope is artillery. Bombs.
I think what radio can do with the use of sound and soundscapes, and something very simple like the sound of a heartbeat, it can lend a real atmosphere to work of film, TV or theatre, but in radio it can really encapsulate. And that's why there's numerous fantastic adaptations of Edgar Allan Poe's The Telltale Heart. Even though radio was invented long after Edgar Allan Poe died, some of his stories were just waiting for the invention of radio, because that simple sound effect of a pounding heart is terrific to create a kind of horror world in the imagination of the listener.
The flesh is already engulfing the guns. They came too late.
Some of the horror radio shows like Lights Out and Suspense made the transition over to television. They did so quite successfully, even though there'd perhaps be different personnel involved. It was a new era for them. But another great show was Inner Sanctum Mysteries, which was one of the great trademarks of radio, was its creaking door at the beginning.
Creaking door. This is your host to welcome you once again into the inner sanctum. Come on in for the crime of your lives.
Now that did translate onto the television screen, where you had a cobwebby door that still creaked open, but perhaps not quite with the same power as that sound of the creaking door. But some of those shows made that transition. And also, I think the influence of horror radio has in some ways been overlooked. I think it's enormously important. People like Stephen King would admit how important it was. But you can also see the influence on EC comics like Tales from the Crypt and things like that, that you can tell that the artists and writers of stories were listening to those fantastic horror radio plays that were being broadcast live. Stephen King is probably quite right to celebrate Arch Ober as the great figure in horror radio, but there are numerous other figures. I think what Arch Ober did brilliantly was his showmanship. He was a great personality. You hear at the beginning of some of the existing Lights Out recordings the way he talks to the audience. He really is in his medium as a performer as much as a writer and director.
This is Arch Ober bringing you another in our series of stories of the unusual. And once again, we caution you. These Lights Out stories are definitely not for the timid soul. So we tell you calmly and very sincerely, if you frighten easily, turn off your radio now.
I think horror radio suffered the fate of a lot of radio drama, certainly in the United States, which was it was superseded by television. One feels that there was an investment suddenly in TV and less so in radio. And those days of live radio broadcasting disappeared quite quickly. Also, I think pre-recording came in and that changed things somewhat. Interestingly, elsewhere in the world, like on the BBC in Britain, radio drama has continued ever since, with BBC still producing over 300 radio plays a year, or whatever the facts are for that. And horror has always had an important place. The Dark House was a great example of the potential of contemporary horror radio. With this particular play, if you listened on the web, you could choose which character to follow. So it was a kind of ghost story, but you could choose which character you'd follow, whether they were outside or inside the house. So that sense of interactivity was enormous fun, and it does show the potential, I think, for horror radio still. It was somewhere between a good old-fashioned live horror show, but also a digital game or something like that, because that element of the audience being involved and making decisions. I really think there's great potential for renaissance of horror radio, or perhaps not so much horror radio as horror listening. I think the whole podcasting culture has had enormous impact, and it seems like spoken word dramas and the spoken word form continues to be popular. Also, there's certain writers like Neil Gaiman. I'm aware that on his website, he's done some readings of his own horror fiction. So there's that kind of potential. And I think there's people listening for it. People don't just want to listen to music. They may want to listen to drama. And horror culture has never gone away.
Richard Hand is the author of Terror on the Air, Horror Radio in America, 1931 to 1952.